Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Start you with this tonight, because I was thinking about it watching football last night with Sean McVay going against Bruce Arians. Mm-hmm. It was a good football game, right?
Quality football match, both teams
are going to be playoff teams in the NFC, and you know what's interesting to me is, like, I think the Rams are really good, and I don't think you need to watch last night to realize that they are a really, really good football team. But I think the Bucs definitely have this they have this Jekyll and Hyde feel about them. When they play well, Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucks seem like they could win the Super Bowl. And when they play poorly, they seem like they are a disbanded group of random stars thrown together who can't actually win a wild card game. Like, those are the two things I kind of see with this matchup from last night, Monday Night Football. And we saw it firsthand as Bears fans, is when we saw Tampa against the Bears beat Tampa Bay, and I think the Bears could actually beat them again. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility that the Bears could not beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers a second time. Mm-hmm. Now, the Rams, the Bears lost that game, and they looked bad against the Rams, and I don't think the Bears could ever beat the Rams this season. I think that's how good the Los Angeles Rams are. And I'm watching the game last night. I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's interesting. We talk about head coaches in football, but we only praise head coaches in the NFL for two things. We praise coaches in the NFL as being the genius, right? You have the geniuses. You have Andy Reid, who is a genius at offensive side of the football. You have Bill Belichick. He's a defensive schematic genius, right?
Yeah.
We look at coaches like that who are the genius, and we praise them. And there are many for both sides of the ball, offense, defense, usually the best coaches in the NFL. They get praise for being a quote-unquote genius. Mm-hmm. The other guy that we get to praise when it comes to head coaches in the NFL is we praise the guy that wins with less talent.
Yeah.
The guy that cobbles together a game plan, coaches him up, mm-hmm. and he has less talent than mm-hmm. everyone else in the league, and yet he's staying competitive and he wins a few games. Like Brian Flores last year, I thought was a good head coach because clearly the Dolphins didn't have as much talent as other teams in the National Football League. They found a way to compete.
Can I give you a Mike Vrabel?
Mike Vrabel finds a way. Like, that group, overall, both sides of the ball, they don't have the best quarterback in the NFL.
No.
They don't have some of the best skill positions, even though, you know, they have a really good wide receiver, a number one wide receiver in Brown, and,
yeah.
and a great running back in Henry. But, you know, like, yes, Mike Vrabel, he finds a way, right? He's mm-hmm. the guy that cobbles together with less to come out with victories. Those are the two types of coaches in the NFL that get praise. The guy that wins with less or the genius, right? And then when you get a guy who's like kind of both, that's when you've really hit a home run, right? The guy who wins with both, that would be like the Kyle Shanahan. Right, Kyle Shanahan is talked about as a genius, an offensive genius,
yeah,
who has dealt with injuries all over the place, right? Yet he finds a way to get Nick Mullins to go out there and still put up offensive mm-hmm. stats, mm-hmm. offensive yards, Belichick, offensive points.
Belichick was like that the year Brady was out, you know, with yeah. Garoppolo, and
right.
then like, the spot starts with Brissett and those guys, you know. But obviously he's a genius too. But I'm saying geniuses do everything.
No, right, but Belichick is the example, much like Kyle Shanahan, who is the guy who can do both. He is that guy that gives you both. He is the guy that not only does he win with less talent, he is also looked at as a genius in the schematic part of the realm for the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And then we point to our guy here in Chicago, Black and Abdallah, with you here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago
app. This
is
the whole thing just to get to...
Well, here's my point, because I was watching last night looking at the coaches that were on the field and trying to figure out, is Sean McVay, and was Sean McVay, a one-hit wonder? And he had that great season that the entire league fell in love with Sean McVay. And then he had a downturn last year. And it seems like he's hit his stride once again.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, I think Sean McVay is into that category of maybe he is an offensive genius when all things kind of consider and kind of pan out.
Yeah.
And so we look at Matt Nagy here with the Chicago Bears. I think we can clearly rule off the table. He is not a genius offensively, right? We can remove that. Northwestern's 8, by the way, for
yep.
those that are paying attention with mm-hmm. the college football playoffs. So do you owe Sylvia pizza?
I think I do, because I said they'd be 8, but he wanted 8 or higher, so sure.
All right, so he gets a third pizza.
Yeah, his All right. family's going to be stuffed with pizza.
All right, can we order the pizzas tonight, or
no,
is there still
not,
an embargo on the
pizza?
No, pizzas?
That's not. It's an on-his-terms pizza.
Okay.
Look, he
All
might
right.
get a pizza this weekend. Like, I might just send it and be like, here's your pizza.
Well, I think we should on Thursday. We should send him some pies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely Thanksgiving pizza, for
yeah.
sure.
Thanksgiving
for sure.
pizza is a great
yep.
way to go.
Yep.
All mm-hmm, right, back to what mm-hmm, we were saying mm-hmm, about
mm-hmm,
Matt Nagy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'm watching the game last night, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, the two types of coaches in the NFL are those who get praise and then those who win with less talent. Is Matt Nagy a genius? Is he that guy who can get that praise for being a genius? And you look at what he's done, and we know, Bears fans know, Matt Nagy is not an offensive genius, right? Boom. We can end that right there. Not mm-hmm. an offensive genius. So then you ask yourself, but is he a guy that can win with less talent? Is he a guy like a Mike Vrabel, Brian Flores, the individuals who can cobble together less talent but still come up with a way to win a football game? I think to this point we have seen Matt Nagy is not that type of guy either. And so the whole point that I'm getting at here is Matt Nagy needs to come up with a way on Sunday against the Packers, a more talented team, to not only outthink a better head coach in Matt LaFleur, but also out-coach LaFleur and try and out-scheme and get more out of his talent than what the Packers will put on the field on Sunday. And I think it's an interesting way to look at it, because Matt Nagy is not either of the two things we talked about, a genius or a guy that wins less, but he needs to find a way to do it.
Well, I mean, just look at the way the Packers have turned around it this year, you know? Like, the Packers are second in the Football Power Index as far as offense. They're 18th on defense. They're third overall. Like, the Packers are third overall because they have an okay defense, but they have the second best offense in the NFL. You know, the Packers are averaging 30.8 points per game. They're only giving up 26 points a game. The Bears are giving up 19 points a game. So there's a chance that they keep this close, but LaFleur, in his second year, has definitely put something together that I don't know a lot of people thought that he'd be able to, because people said, hey, you know, this is going to be a down year for the Packers because of all their close losses last year, because they were outperforming. They were definitely outperforming what they thought. So everybody else said, hey, this is going to be a down year for the Packers. The Vikings are going to be better. The Bears and the Lions, third or fourth, doesn't really matter. But ultimately, the Packers have outperformed people's expectations of what they thought they would be.
Oh,
because
for sure.
There were a couple of people that said, yeah, the Packers are going to be good. But I think most of us collectively, and most people projecting these things, said, look, that the floor is going to fall out on the Packers and all the luck that they had last year. And it hasn't, because of Aaron Rodgers, and I'm never going to count Aaron Rodgers out of anything. So they're performing really well, and the Bears have a tough test. But yeah, if you look at two guys that are getting the most out of their talent, one of them is Matt LaFleur, and one of them is definitely not Matt Nagy. Absolutely not Matt Nagy.
Right. And that's where we look at it. And the phone number is 312-332-3776. I have an idea for Matt Nagy on what he should do against the Packers. And it is with a player that I don't think you're going to think that I'm going to suggest the Bears use a lot. It's a player that I don't think you know me. You know me. Chris Black, right here. I'm going to suggest something that the Bears do on Sunday that I think you are you're going to question whether or not I'm okay in the head.
No, I just have the music ready.
All right. Well, so we're going to talk about that next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Here's my idea. What was that?
The bat just fell. There's a bat in here. There's a plastic bat, and it just fell weirdly while you started.
All right, should we redo that? Should we do it again?
Did you hit the mic with such force?
No, I didn't do anything.
That you moved it?
Should we ask Sean for music again? Should we hit the music again?
Yeah, start again. Just hit the music again.
Hit the music again there?
Start over
commercial
real quick.
Break, maybe.
You don't need the sounder. Just hit the music again. For the beat.
Yep. All right, so here's my idea for the Chicago Bears heading into this week. It's an idea I've given Matt Nagy before. I actually gave this idea heading into the Titans game, but there's a spin on this, right? Because I don't think Matt Nagy is a genius, and I don't think he's a guy that can win with less talent, but here's what he needs to do to beat the Green Bay Packers. First off, I think Mitchell Trubisky needs to start this game. Let that breathe for a second. I think Mitchell Trubisky needs to start this game. Can I explain to you what needs to happen next?
You said it was going to be shocking. Like, that's not shocking.
It is shocking from us. From our show.
I don't think it is.
Yeah,
we usually
don't say that he should be the one starting.
I get it. I still think Foles is better, but I don't think it matters at this point. I think if the offensive line is going to be that bad, like, it's just okay. Because who's less hurt?
Well, I mean, I don't. If they're both healthy, I think this is why you need to start Mitchell Trubisky.
Okay.
Here's the idea. Ready? I think this is a great idea. Beautiful idea. Probably. Fantastic idea.
Probably not.
He needs to start Trubisky, and Nagy needs to coach Trubisky and game plan Trubisky in this contest against the Packers as if he's the backup quarterback.
Yeah, you said this before.
He needs to game plan and play Trubisky, keeping everything, shrink the play sheet for, mm-hmm. for laser, mm-hmm. Make sure the calls, you run the football, mm-hmm. protect Trubisky,
mm-hmm.
play the game as if Mitchell Trubisky is the backup quarterback, which he is. So you start him, you start the backup, and you game plan as if he is the backup, and I think that's the only way you can win this football game.
What if you use both?
No, can I don't you, like that. I don't like the both.
Can you put in?
I don't like that.
Can we do a start Mitch, and when they're losing, you put Foles in when he's at his best when they're losing?
The comeback Foles?
Yeah, comeback Foles. You have two quarterbacks.
I don't know if that works.
First half, second half quarterback.
I just think, like, doesn't it make so much more sense if Trubisky is the backup, which mm-hmm. he is? He's not the better quarterback than Foles, but I know Foles is not playing well. But you start Trubisky, and you game plan as if he's the backup, which he is.
Yeah, he is.
And which you should have been game planning for all along, that he's the backup. That's how you win this football game. That's how you do it.
I feel like you wanted me to be like, whoa!
I didn't think you'd see that one coming.
I did see that coming. As soon as you started the tease, I was like, well, it's not Cordero Patterson.
Broderick
they use him a lot.
Broderick on the north side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, man?
Hey, you know what? It's funny, Abdallah. I was just thinking that. Black Ops, back of the corner, you were saying, you know, let's hand the ball off to Cordero Patterson like 30 times. that would have been the shocker.
Yeah, it would have been, right?
That would have totally been the shocker. I could have sworn that you were going to say that. I do like the rationale, however, with Mitchell Trubisky. Making it simple, you know, giving him a few reads, you know, not trying to complicate things so he's, you know, got the scared feet and just throwing the ball all over the place. I did also want to add the fact that I think Matt Nagy is either super arrogant or just an idiot. It's funny you guys played a little soundbite. I know we need to run the ball. I'm not an idiot. I want to repeat, yes, sir, you are. Anybody who thinks you can run the ball seven times in one game and win, is out of their mind. He's lucky that I can't remember what team it was. Somebody ran the ball five times. I think it was the Bucks.
Yeah, it was actually Tampa Bay earlier this year. Yeah,
yeah, but they had five freaking times, and three of them were design runs. So he's lucky for that. But that's pretty much it, man. I don't think, regardless of which quarterback they're going to win this Sunday, I think that's a wash. But I hope for the best. I'll hang up and listen, guys.
Thanks, Broderick. We appreciate the phone call. 312-332-3776. Listen, you didn't have to react like, whoa, but
whoa!
I think, like, here's where it would be wrong. If they're just switching and flip-flopping between the quarterbacks, but yet they're still trying to get out of the offense what they assume that they would get out from the beginning, I think that would be a mistake.
Well, I think the Packers are susceptible on defense, right? They're 12th in yards allowed per game. They're 17th in points allowed per game. They're allowing 25.8 points per game. And I think that you can find some success because the Bears, there's only one other way to go. Like, you're not going to be as bad as the Jets. That's almost impossible. And the Bears are still 31st, even though they didn't play last week. The Bears are still 31st in yards per play, yards per game, points per play, third down conversions, first downs per game, points per game, overall offensive efficiency. They're 31st in all of those categories. Like, they average 19 points a game. If they could average three more points a game, they'd average more points than their defense is allowing, and they'd probably have a few more wins. So there's really only one way to go, which is why I don't think it's that shocking of an idea, because you can only really go one way. You can only go up. You're not going to be 32nd. At least I hope you're not going to be 32nd. But I think that you would be wise to try anything at this point. Because here's the difference now, Chris. You went from playoff chasing, you know, like hunting or whatever, to now you're in cover your ass mode.
They're in the hunt.
No, I know they're in the
hunt.
They're
game back.
But they're not really in the hunt.
But they are. Okay. They're a game back of the Cardinals.
Okay. Yeah.
You say okay, but that's factual.
No, but you're also in cover your ass mode. You're in job saving mode right now.
You can be both.
Yo, I know you can be both. That's the problem, because
things can happen quickly in the National Football League.
If I told you how they're based on strength of schedule, remaining schedule, where do you think they are?
They're towards the top. I just read an article about this.
They're 29th.
Really?
Well, not in easiest, like the 29th hardest. So yes, you're right.
Yeah,
fourth easiest. Fourth easiest schedule remaining. They have the Packers twice, and then they have the Jags, the Texans, the Lions, and the Vikings.
Yeah.
Who, you kept it close with the Vikings. You already beat the Lions, and the Jags and the Texans are awful.
Right. Two teams that you could beat.
So they could still have nine wins.
Right.
Now, here's the difference. If they don't, people are getting fired. And
You hope.
I don't hope. I think everybody hopes. I think the royal we hopes.
No, the McCaskies may look at it and say, well, it's not like they were under 500.
Ugh.
Like, that's possible. You know, you and I looked at this team hanging into the season. I had them at 7-9, right? And then we looked at a bunch of different swing games. If things go their way, if they improve, all this stuff, they could get up to that 9 wins.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they could be a force. Clearly, it didn't go that way. So this 7-9 team, I agree with you. If they don't make the playoffs, that would make it easier to say, okay, we need to go in a new direction. I think all of us fans know Nagy's not the answer. Pace, the track record shows, he's not the answer.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, how long are we playing out this same storyline where we know the offense stinks, we know the defense is pretty good, yet we can't actually accomplish what we want?
The difference is Arizona and L.A., right? Like, that's who we're looking at. Is the Rams have the sixth easiest schedule. They play the Cardinals twice, the Seahawks, and they still have the Jets, Patriots, and 49ers. And then Arizona still has the Rams twice, and then they play the Giants, the Eagles, the Patriots, and the 49ers.
That's the one.
Who
was that? That's the Cardinals?
That's the Cardinals. They have the Rams twice, the Giants, the Eagles, the Patriots, and 49ers.
Right. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look. The Bears have easier games, obviously. So I think that, look, because you could still... Arizona could lose to the Patriots.
They could
lose to the 49ers.
They have easier opponents. That doesn't necessarily make the games easier.
Well, I understand that.
Because even though the Texans are a worse team, I'd feel more confident in Deshaun Watson against whatever the Bears are doing on offense.
Well, yeah, but that defense is...
True, but the offense would have to score to keep pace with that.
Okay. So start Trubisky, and he can run around and do his little things like you want.
No, I'm just saying that's the only way that this is going to work, is if they scale it back and they treat Trubisky like the backup that he is, and they put him out there.
I don't think they put him out there unless Foles camp go.
Which is fair. Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. So the college football playoff first ranking has just been released by ESPN. They just had their college football playoff ranking show. It's on currently on ESPN television. Here we go, Abdallah. There's a lot to kind of take away from this. Most notably, here are your four at the moment. Number one, Alabama.
Roll Tide.
Number two, Notre Dame. Number three, Clemson. Number four, Ohio State.
Shocking.
So you say, wow, Clemson has one loss, and Clemson's the number three team in the country, and Ohio State's number four. So you ask, what does the committee think of the next two up? Number five and number six. Well, here you go. Head to the SEC. That's all that matters. Texas A&M is number five. Number six is Florida. Now, it should always be pointed out that Florida will be the team that will probably make the SEC championship game against Alabama. So there's a good chance out of those two teams sitting right on the edge, one of those teams will get bounced out. Number seven, Cincinnati. Number eight, Northwestern. Number nine, Georgia. Number 10, Miami. That's the top 10 of the college football playoff ranking, the first ranking that is released. I would say that is fantastic for Northwestern football, because all they have to do now is beat Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game, and I think they have a ticket to the college football playoff.
Well, that's all they have to
do. Well, listen, being up at number eight already is huge. I would also point out Cincinnati at number seven. For being a group of five team, that I believe that's the highest a group of five team has ever ranked in the first college football playoff ranking, number seven. So that's huge for Cincinnati.
Well, and also, if you're wondering, you know, why is Ohio State four? And even though they don't have any losses, but Clemson has a loss and they're number three, well, the committee is weighing the number of games you played a lot. Because if you look at number 15, Oregon, undefeated, number 18, USC, undefeated, behind Texas, behind Wisconsin. And so, and also, maybe you shouldn't talk trash, BYU. Maybe you shouldn't wait until the rankings come out, BYU.
Where's BYU at?
14.
Oh, my. 14.
14.
And they are undefeated, and they have played a lot of games. It's just they've played soft opponents.
Yeah. So I think you're right. This is good for Notre Dame and Clemson because they're up high. So maybe if Clemson beats Notre Dame could fall to number four and still make it into the college football playoff. It's also very good for Northwestern, like you mentioned, because, you know, if they compete in a championship game and beat Ohio State, they're definitely better than Cincinnati. And the committee would see that ranking higher than Florida's loss over a one loss Florida team, a one loss Texas A&M team. And that would probably mean that Ohio State doesn't get in. That is a de facto play-in game, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
And with the cancellation of Wisconsin's game today with Minnesota, that's with COVID problems with the Minnesota team. Wisconsin's not going to play enough games to even factor into the mix of the Big Ten championship game. So this is Northwestern's spot to lose at this point.
So this is breaking news here on ESPN 1000. We'll have more reaction to the first college football playoff ranking coming up next.
And Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
So BYU is in a tough spot, right?
BYU?
They claim to be one of the best teams in the country. Well, they're not going to get any chance at the college football playoff.
Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, one of our favorite Twitch commenters in there. We love all of you equally, but Roderick James is in there all the time.
Yes.
And he asked me, do we think BYU takes that Washington game now? And honestly, I don't think it matters.
No.
If they beat Washington, they're not getting in. So you would need to play half the Pac-12 almost.
I would say this. It's not only will you not get into the four, you're not getting to a New Year's Six game now. Like, you're so far away. Abdallah, they're ranked 14th.
No, I know.
They're not jumping to six into that group.
No, I know. But look, these games, unless you're in the playoff, these games don't matter. You know what I mean? Like, yes, they matter to the schools, and they matter to the people playing and all that kind of stuff. But you know what I mean? Like, these games don't matter. Put BYU in a big game. Put BYU in a game against an SEC opponent or a Big 12. Or like the loser of
BYU's
the
BYU's going to get. Wait, what's the best bowl that's not a New Year's Six bowl? The Gator Bowl?
No.
The Outback Bowl?
No, give them a New Year's Six bowl.
No, they're not going to get there, man. They're ranked 14th in the first ranking. They're not going to get there.
Four other games that you could put them in.
No, I know. I get that.
Because two are the playoff.
I get that.
Okay, so put them in one of the four. Let them play Wisconsin.
But you're also assuming.
How about this?
You're also assuming as this progresses and the Pac-12 plays more games, you're assuming that Oregon and USC are not going to immediately jump them the moment they play more games.
Of course they will. Yeah, they will. They will.
Okay, so that will take spots as well.
I'm just saying, in this year where BYU put this whole schedule together just so they could play.
Oh, I know.
Reward them with something.
Yeah,
not going to get the playoff.
The Holiday Bowl.
No, not the Holiday. Don't give me the Poinsettia Bowl. No.
I like the Poinsettia Bowl.
No.
It's a fun bowl.
No.
I enjoy that bowl.
I don't want that bowl. Give them
the Gator Bowl. They can have that. They can have Outback. They can have all kinds of bowls.
I want a real test. I want them to play Wisconsin. I want them to play whoever doesn't make it from USC or Oregon. I want someone real. I want them to play someone real.
To me, the big winners, the college football playoff rankings have been released. Alabama 1, Notre Dame number 2. This is the home of the Fighting Irish, ESPN 1000. Number 3, Clemson. Ohio State number 4. Texas A&M, a big winner. They are number 5. And basically, you know, you look at what Texas A&M can do. They're not going to get to the SEC championship game because they lost to Alabama and then they're in the same division.
Mm-hmm.
So there is the chance that Texas A&M can win out and they will have only one loss on the resume. And that one loss is to the number 1 team in the country. So you have a interesting little thing going on where Bama and Texas A&M are both in the top 5. And yeah. Notre Dame and Clemson are 2 and 3. And both of those teams have played once, and they're going to play again most likely. And I think that's an interesting thing that, like, of the 5 teams in the top 5, 4 of them basically have, like, settled their differences to this point.
I think there's 2 scenarios where this ranking changes, right? I'm not saying seeding. I'm just saying they take this 4 out, right? If Notre Dame beats Clemson again, Clemson's out.
Yeah, but then Texas A&M is right there. So
okay.
A&M is the team that gets in. Clemson's
but I'm just
out.
Saying, if these 4 teams, right?
Yeah.
Notre Dame beats
yeah.
Clemson, Clemson's out.
Right.
I think if Clemson beats Notre Dame is still in, they fall to 4. I think if the only other team is Ohio State losing to Northwestern, Northwestern move into that 4 spot.
I agree.
And Ohio State wouldn't make it.
Right.
And I even think that if Florida beats Alabama, because Alabama beat Texas A&M, Alabama still remains in that top 4.
Yeah, so, but who would be the team you drop out? Bama would drop out after being 1?
They don't necessarily have to drop out. No, 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 they would still be in the 4. If they lost to Florida, they would just move down.
Well, you can't see here that you got 4 teams.
No, you just
move
them up.
And if Florida beats Bama, who's the team moving out if they're moving in?
No, no,
you
have Florida to remove wouldn't someone. Move in. No, Florida wouldn't move in.
So you're just saying Florida can't make it at all, and they're the 6th team.
I don't think so, because they lost to Texas A&M. I don't think so. I don't think Florida can make it unless you have multiple losses.
And Cincinnati, likely to go undefeated, they're 7th.
Sorry.
I don't think they get in either. Northwestern at 8. Northwestern, I do think, has a shot. I think if Northwestern can go undefeated and beat Ohio State, you're going to get into the college football playoff. I think that's very interesting. That should be exciting for the Northwestern Wildcat fans here in Chicago. Scott O'Hare, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Scott?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Yeah, I'm not going to try to sprinkle any doom and gloom on this picture here, but is there a contingency plan? I mean, here we go. We got Minnesota, Wisconsin's canceled for this coming weekend, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a contingency plan once we get into the, you know, the bowl game season? You know, you got all these major player sponsors. If there's a game that has to be canceled, what's the thing? Are they going to, you know, all right, you're out, then we bring the next team that that maybe didn't fit into that picture, they slide in.
Well, again, I think that, you know, like I said, these games don't really matter unless it's the playoff game. And I think that the committee already ruled that they don't want to have like a standby team.
Well, and that's, you know, that's what I think Scott's asking about is that when we get to the Final Four and we have to play those games, the testing has to go right for those games to go off.
Of course. And then if you can't play, maybe you wait a week and then try to play the other one and then move the national championship game back so you can get these teams. And I don't think they want to have, like, you know, if Florida, if Texas A&M is that fifth team, if the rankings stay as they are, right? Let's just say that they stay and Texas A&M is that fifth team. I don't think they want to not schedule Texas A&M for another bowl game and be like, hey, you know, if Notre Dame can't play, we're going to slot you in there. Or if Clemson can't play, we're going to slot you in there. I think they're just, they'll either move the game a few days if they have to, or they'll because there's too much money at stake to cancel any of those games. Those four games, or those two games, and then the national championship game generate so much money that there's way too much at stake to just move a team in or to cancel those games.
A couple of other things before we move on to Bears-Packers conversation here on ESPN 1000. Some other notable schools we have yet to talk about. Oklahoma's 11, Indiana 12, Iowa State at 13. Iowa State, I believe, still has an outside shot to win the Big 12. I don't think that the Big 12 outside of, you know, everything collapsing, that they're going to get a team in the college football playoff. BYU at 14, we talked about that. Oregon at 15. Now, Oregon and USC. Oregon's at 15, USC at 18. The question is out there that whether or not the Pac-12 will, either team, if they go undefeated, will have enough games to even be included in any of this. Right now, the committee is suggesting no is the answer at the moment. Wisconsin is at 16. Texas is 17th. North Carolina is 19th. Coastal Carolina 20, Marshall 21, Auburn 22, Oklahoma State 23, Iowa and Tulsa round out the 25 teams from the college football playoff rankings.
So
the first ranking came out tonight.
We have just under a month until the final ranking comes out December 20th, 19th, 20th, because the championship games are the 19th. So the final rankings come out on the 20th. And is that enough time if Oregon and USC both go undefeated for them to just slowly start creeping up week by week by week?
And that's why I say, like, BYU is going to be replaced immediately. Like, whenever Oregon or SC start winning more games, they will move past. And then you have to look at the moment you see the Pac-12 start to catch up with the Big 12, they're going to pass Iowa State, Oklahoma. We know Miami at 10. Miami is the third best team in the ACC. Like, so will Miami get up in the rankings at the end of this, a month from now? I don't know. Georgia at 9?
Georgia has two. Here's what I don't understand. Georgia has two losses. Oklahoma has two losses.
Right.
And Texas, see, Iowa State and Texas both have two losses, see, but they're all in the top 20.
All of the Big 12 and Georgia, the moment the Pac-12 starts winning enough games on the resume, Oregon and SC, whoever that team is that could go undefeated for the Pac-12, that team is going to jump in. Now, the question is whether or not they could ever catch Northwestern, Cincinnati, Florida, and Texas A&M. That's the question for the Pac-12.
I think they'll move up because as long as they don't have any canceled games, Oregon, USC, you know, USC has some COVID. They shut down football activity today because of a positive test. So we'll see if they can play on Saturday.
Colorado.
And so they'll, who does, do you know off the top of your head who Oregon plays? I don't have it in front of me right now.
No, I don't.
It's fine.
I've yet to start doing my college, Chicago's college tailgate.
A special edition of Chicago's college tailgate on Friday at 11 a.m. as number two.
How about that?
Number two Notre Dame takes on number 19 North Carolina. So, but let's, okay, so.
Oregon State.
Okay, so if they, you know, Oregon State, if those games go off, then they should move up, and they win, they should move up the rankings.
Oregon State's terrible. So
they'll, they'll win that game. Yeah.
What is your favorite moment in the rivalry, the great rich rivalry history of Bears and Packers?
Oh, there's not a
What's
lot of
your favorite
ones.
Moment ever? We'll talk about it next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Did you see the this just in from ESPN Alert push to your mobile phone? You get that push notification?
I do. I should turn my mic on. I should get that notification.
This is the this just in from ESPN, the app. It just push notified my phone this. Strong possibility that Utah could play Washington this weekend after the Utes game scheduled for Sunday was canceled.
Oh, okay.
Strong possibility now. Yeah, because you're ranked 14th in the college football playoff rankings. That's why.
Utah. Oh, yeah. BYU and Washington. Okay.
Yeah, BYU, Washington.
Well, yeah. You said Utah, I think, but... We're not going to get into semantics.
Hold on.
You said Utah.
I did say Utah.
Yeah, so Utah and what? Because their games were canceled. So it's not BYU.
No, that's right. BYU's going to get cut out of it.
Oh, yeah. They should have signed the contract this week.
Yeah, right. So there you go,
BYU. Said they wanted to play on the 6th anyway. So if they could still do it if they wanted to.
They're not going
to
play a Power 5 team. Who are they going to play?
Listen,
BYU. It's going to be Utah and Washington.
Listen, BYU, I told you. Give them a thanks for coming bowl game.
Like, it's so funny to me,
just
right?
Give them a good bowl game.
We want to see where the rankings are because we're going to be so high in the rankings that we don't want to waste
give
it.
Give them a good bowl game.
No, they can play in a bowl game. They're just not going to be in a New Year's Six game.
Why not?
They're too far in the rankings. I've explained this to you.
Oh, my God. But why not?
I feel like we're talking in circles. Black and Abdallah here
because
on ESPN 1000.
Because you're being mean to BYU.
Well,
because
I just don't like the cut of their jib.
What's wrong with their jib?
I just like they're very cocky. All right?
I don't understand what's wrong with their jib.
You've played absolutely nobody.
Okay. And they know clearly... The committee agrees with you.
Exactly. So 14th is where you are.
Give them a thanks for showing up bowl game.
You know what that's going to be? It's going to be the Alamo Bowl,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be against Northwestern after they lose Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. It's going to be Northwestern BYU in the Alamo Bowl. That's what it's going to be.
Can they just play Wisconsin?
Sure, why not? It doesn't matter. All right, I want to talk to you about this. It's Bears-Packers week.
It doesn't matter.
Bears-Packers week, Sunday night football. And listen, this rivalry means something to the NFL. It means something to all of us, right? If you're a Bears fan, if you're a Packers fan, it's the oldest rivalry in the National Football League. The first time they played, it was November 27th, 1921. The Bears weren't even named the Bears. They were the Staleys taking on the Packers. The Bears win that contest 20-0. That's right, a shutout of the Packers to open things up, to open this. They've played 200 times. The Packers lead the series 99-95 with six ties. The longest win streak in the series were brought to you by the Chicago Bears in the 80s. They won eight straight games from 85-88. The Packers then won 10 straight games. That's the longest winning streak they had was from 94-98. So each team has won quite a few games, different decades, right? We know that the 90s, the 2000s, even the 2010s have been tough for the Bears. The Packers have been the better team. But in the 80s, the Bears were great. In the 40s, the Bears were great. So there you go. In the 40s, we had the 40s cooking.
Good job. Good job, 40s.
Currently, the Packers have won two in a row. And the first matchup of this season, 2020, is on Sunday. Bears-Packers. The Packers are the better team. The Bears are still not out of the playoffs, but they're sitting at .500, and they need a win. So I ask you, what is your favorite moment in Bears-Packers history? This can go for either side. If you're a Packers fan living in Chicago, you have a moment that you think is your absolute favorite. We'll take your phone calls. If you're a Bears fan and you have your favorite moment, we'll take your phone calls. The NFL Network, Adam, as you think of your favorite moment for Bears-Packers.
Okay.
The NFL Network ran a special where they ran through the top moments in Bears-Packers rivalry history.
Oh, okay.
This is from the NFL Network.
Yeah.
Here are the top five moments from that program on the NFL Network.
Okay, the program.
Number five, we go to 1986.
Oh. Interception, Mark Lee, and and McMahon with an extra shot and two Bear linemen.
Oh, did Charles Martin throw McMahon to the turf? He really leveled him after the ball was gone.
Ball is long gone.
What is this?
Oh, man. That's
ridiculous. He should be out of the game.
Now, there you go, Bears fans. Charles Martin throwing McMahon to the turf. He separates his shoulder on the late hit. I think most Chicagoans would point to that play as the dirtiest play in Chicago sports history.
Absolutely.
The Bears,
why is that a great moment?
The Bears won that game. It's a great moment in the rivalry between the two teams. Rivalry. That's the key here.
Thought we were in Chicago.
Both sides fair and balanced here, Abdallah.
Where are we?
The Bears won that game 12-10 in 1986.
Of course they did.
Number four on the list from the NFL Network, we go to 1995.
Now, if Brett Favre is going to have a good day today, obviously his ankle has to hold up.
Play action, Brooks, short drop, comes up over the middle, it's caught, Brooks 10. Brooks at the 5, touchdown, Robert Brooks. Here's a play action fake, they're going to throw it into the end zone, 11's touchdown.
And the Packers have beaten the Bears, and we are tied for the Central Division lead.
What are you doing? What are you doing? No,
what do you
stop. What are you doing? Are you just playing Packers highlights?
No.
We're in Chicago.
Number four, 1995.
Do you see what this says?
Yeah, it says ESPN Chicago.
It says
I'm with
Chicago.
You. 1995, the Packers win 35-28. Favre on a sprained ankle throws for 336 yards and 5 touchdowns.
That's not nice, man.
Great moments. Hey, listen, the team needs to play better. How about that? Give us more memories. Can you give us some memories here,
That's
Bears?
Not nice, man.
Well, it's the top 5 moments in Bears-Packers rivalry history from the NFL Network. That's number 4.
Okay.
1995.
Okay.
We go to 2011.
Oh, no.
Number 3.
He takes it into the end zone himself, diving for the pylon. Touchdown! Haney throws it over the middle. Intercepted! Intercepted! The end zone for the touchdown! Haney looking around in the pocket, throws it over the middle.
Intercepted!
And there it is! It is Green Bay all the way to Super Bowl 45!
That was 2011. What? The Packers advanced to the Super Bowl. They win the NFC Championship game 21-14. Remember, Cutler gets hurt.
Yeah.
The whole thing that happened afterwards, whether or not he was really hurt on the sidelines.
Yeah.
The Packers beat the Bears in the 2010 NFC Championship game. Rodgers runs for that touchdown. Haney gets intercepted. BJ Raji with the belly dance. Terrible game to be at live.
I was at a bar with Mongo for that game, doing the post-game show at a packed bar here in the Loop. And let's just say the...
post-game?
The post-game at the bar. Let's just say that the natives were restless.
Yeah, I'm sure they were.
It was one of those things where we were there all day, pre-game, during the game, post-game.
Oh, yeah.
People were angry and drunk.
All right. Best moments in Bears-Packers rivalry history. Black and Abdallah, we have the list from the NFL Network. We're up to number two, number one, and number two. We'll let you know what those two are coming up and what is your favorite moment of the rivalry. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
You are listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.